Boker Tov, Erev Shabbat Shalom. Tav Tet Zayin. We're starting the second parak. Now things are about to start getting a little bit more difficult. First parak was fun and games, enjoyable. Today we're about to start to get a little bit more difficult, a little bit more conceptual. But it's nothing like Yevamot still. I apologize, I'm a little bit under the weather. So I apologize if my voice is a little bit lower. Today's class will be for the Refu'ah Shlema of all the Chalim. ובכללם חם דם רחום אגן דבן אל מלך המקום בנפקה שר אבר מוניה שלמה ושרה דוד מלכן נפקה בת אברהם נפקה בת החבר נפקה בסר שלמה ושר פעמים מן הים אשר מלכה נפקה בן מרים יהודה מניפה חייס אחת המלכה מלכנה שמחה בן מלכה 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 ולהבדיל לנשמע דוד בן אליהו, בנימין בן יצחק, דיאל דינה בן אפרים, שמעון בן יהושע, רינה מלכה בגדן, בועז בן אברהם, דינה בת אהרון, תמר ברכה בת אברהם. Okay, we're starting a new parak at the bottom of 15b, תלווה ועמוד ב', האישה שנתערמלה או שנתגרשה. If let's say a woman becomes a widow or divorced, he אומרת, בתולה נשאתני, and she says, she comes and says, I was married as a betula, as a virgin. Vehu omer, and he comes and says, Lo ki ela almana nisatich. No, I married you as a widow. Right? We said it makes a difference if she got married as a virgin versus a widow. Depends on what her status was beforehand to determine what she receives as a ketubah. Right? My question is over here, first of all, a very simple question. We said she either got widowed or divorced. So she comes and says, I was a virgin when we got married. He comes and says, no. You are a widow. Okay, wait, but if she's a widow now, then how is he answering her? He's dead. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So Rashi discusses this question. Rashi says, no, it's only going on the case of divorce. In the case of divorce, she comes and says, I was really a virgin. He says, no, you're a widow. On the case of widow, if she was a widow, she's saying, I was a virgin. The inheritors, his relatives, are saying that, no, you were actually a widow when you came into the marriage. That's the answer. That's what Rashi says. Im yesh edim sheyatzat bihinuma, if there are witnesses that she went out bihinuma, the Gemara will come to explain what a hinuma is, but essentially there's a custom that the woman would wear something on her hair as a bride going into the wedding. This was a sign that she is a virgin. Only virgins would wear this going into the wedding. So it was a sign that she was a betula. Virosha parua. And her hair was, you know, was open onto her shoulders, like let out open onto her shoulders. That was another sign that a virgin would do. So in that case, ketubatam matayim. If she had witnesses, then the ketubah would be 200. You can infer from that already that if there were no witnesses, the ketubah would not be 200. So we're going to see that who is the Mishnah holding like? It's not so simple. Rabbi Yochanan ben Beroka, Omer Rabbi Yochanan says, af chiluk kelayot ra'aya. He says even the giving out of these kelayot, they used to roast like kernels, wheat kernels, and give them out to little children. This was the sign of, this is the way Rashi says it. Regilim hayu lechalek kelayot lehatinokot b'nisuei habetulot. Only by the virgins' weddings, they used to hand out these wheat kernels. So there's a sign, if you remember, hey, we remember we were giving out these kernels, you know that she was a virgin at the wedding or not. He says that's also a proof. Umoder Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Yoshua agrees, this is very weird, because what are we even talking about? Rabbi Yoshua comes and says, I agree, Be'omer lechaveros sadezo shel avicha, if someone comes and says, this field was actually your father's, hayita, it was your father's, v'lekachtia himenu, and I bought it from him, shehu ne'eman, that he is believed. What does this have to do with the beginning part of the Mishnah? Yeah. The Gemara will come to explain. It's very interesting. Okay? But at face value, this has nothing to do with the beginning part of the Mishnah until we get to the Gemara. Okay? Why is he believed? Shehapesha asar huapesha hitir. The mouth, this is a very important concept, which is the beginning of our second parak. The mouth that forbids is the same mouth that can come and permit. What does that mean? That means that if, let's say, she, after the husband died, she comes and says, this is my property. She comes to the Beit Din. She says, this was my father's property. This is his. Now, if the man comes and says, no, this was your father's, but I bought it from him, that doesn't count. He can't make that proof. Where's your proof? You have to bring a proof to your words. But if he comes and says, before she even goes to the court or anything, she doesn't even know about it. He comes and says, by the way, you know, your father had this field, and I bought it from him, so it's actually mine, right? So now, if she tries to come and take it to the court and say, oh, this was my father's, he can come and say, no, it's actually mine. I was the one who told you about it. If I hadn't told you about it, you wouldn't even know it was your father's. The only reason you knew it was your father's is because I told you. So therefore, it's still mine. Hapesha asar, wapesha yitir. That same mouth that forbade it was the same mouth that permitted. So that's his opinion. Ve'im yesh edim shehi shel aviv, if there are witnesses that it belongs to the father, ve'hu omer lekachtia himenu, and the guy comes and says, no, I bought it from him. He has not believed, and we trust the witnesses that it really belongs to her father. So the Gemara comes and says, Ta'ama de'ika edim. The reason why we believe the woman is because there are witnesses. Right? The witnesses come and say, she was a virgin at the wedding. We saw her come out with her hinuma. Right? So if there are no witnesses, Baal me'eman, you can understand that the husband is believed. So what? Remember, if you remember correctly, we had a few machlokets in the Mishnayot earlier in the first parak between Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Yoshua. Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, with the opinion that we believe the woman. Rabbi Yoshua was going with the opinion that we believe the man. We cannot believe the woman until she brings a raya, she brings a proof to her words. So the Gemara comes and says, "Le matnan stama deloka Rabban Gamliel." We flip the amun. Let's say that the Mishnah was taught anonymously, not like Rabban Gamliel. Why? De'i Rabban Gamliel, if it was following the opinion of Rabban Gamliel, ha'amar ihi mehemna. We know that Rabban Gamliel is of the opinion that the woman is believed. And clearly here, our Mishnah anonymously is saying the woman is not believed unless there are witnesses. So in general, she would not be believed. The Gemara says, afilu tema Rabban Gamliel. No, he says, even if you want to say our Mishnah goes with the opinion of Rabban Gamliel, ad kan lo ka'amar Rabban Gamliel hatam. Rabban Gamliel was only saying over there in the previous parak with the machlokets, ela bibari v'shema. In the case of, let's say, she comes and says, I know for sure X. And he comes and says, I think X. So who do we believe? Bari v'shema? Bari adi. If we said, if someone knows something for sure, the woman knows for sure, the man is not 100% sure, we go with the person who knows for sure. But in our case, it's not for sure and I don't know. In our case, it's for sure and for sure. She's saying, it's like this. She's saying, I was a virgin. He's saying, no, you're not. No, you were a widow. So what do we believe? So in that case, we would go after the man until the woman brings the proof. That's what the Gemara is trying to say. So even according to Rabban Gamliel, Ela babari v'shema aval hacha, but in our case, bibari v'bari lo amar. He didn't say what he said, that we believe the woman, in the case of when they're both 100% sure what they're saying is true. Okay, with the karela, my karela. Okay, so the person asked the question, thinking, oh, maybe the Mishnah is not like Rabban Gamliel. What was his, what was his thought process, right? Bari v'barihu. It's a bari and a bari case. It's a case of he knows for sure and she knows for sure. So why would we even think that it's similar to the previous cases in the previous parak? So the Gemara says, Kivan de rov nashim betulot nisot. Since majority of women get married as virgins, ki bari v'shema dame. I would have thought to say that it's similar to a case of bari and shema. That what? If majority of women get married as a virgin, I would have thought that for sure the halakha leans more towards her. Because she's probably right if she's saying I was a virgin. But that's what I would have thought to say. And so that's why he needed to come and ask a question. Maybe the Mishnah is not like the opinion of Rabban Gamliel. The Gemara says, no, the Mishnah is actually like Rabban Gamliel, but he says it's really like Bari and Bari, and that's why we go with the man. V'hachin nami mistabra. This is also, it makes sense like this. Why? Midigatani, it taught in our Mishnah, umoder Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua agrees. Who's Rabbi Yeshua agreeing to? Oh, so if you say that Rabbi Yeshua is coming to agree to someone, who is that Rabban Gamliel? Because Rabbi Yeshua and Rabban Gamliel disagreed in our previous parak. So when it comes and says he agrees in that type of case, now it's going to make sense. But if Rabban Gamliel is not the author of the beginning part of the Mishnah, then who is Rabbi Yeshua agreeing to? So that's what the Gemara says. If you think Rabban Gamliel is taking place in the Mishnah and he is viewing the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, he's saying, I agree with you, b'modeh, that he agrees with you that we believe the man in our Mishnah, not the woman. So he agrees with Rabbi Yeshua. Shapir, that makes sense now. But if you say, lo ayre Rabban Gamliel b'modeh, that Rabban Gamliel is not dealing with the case of agreeing with Rabbi Yeshua, he's not even the author of our Mishnah. So Rabbi Yeshua leman modeh. Who is Rabbi Yeshua agreeing to? Rabbi Yeshua came and said, "Modeh ani, I'm agreeing to someone. Who are you agreeing to? There's no one in our Mishnah." So the Gemara says, "Mi savrat Rabbi Yeshua a high pirkin kae." Do you think Rabbi Yeshua is referring to our parak over here? Amigo kae. Rabbi Yeshua is going back on the previous chapter, the previous parak. Va pirkin kamai kae. He's going on the kamakai. He's going on the first chapter that we learned. that over there we saw, we had amigo from Rabban Gamliel. What was amigo? Amigo was, since the woman could have said something more in her benefit, and she didn't. She could have said, muket etz ani. She could have said, I was a muket etz, and she was never forbidden to a kohen, let's say. What did she say? She said, no, I was violated after we got engaged. So now, even though she's permitted to her husband, she becomes forbidden to any kohen. So she forbade herself to people. From that aspect, you can understand that she said, so we can say, since she could have been more in benefit of herself and said something better for herself, and she didn't, therefore we believe her. So over there, that's where Rabban Gamliel said migo. Over here also we're saying migo in our Mishnah. Why? Rabbi Yeshua is coming to say that since the man didn't have to come and tell this woman, by the way, I bought this field from your husband, it was from your father, He didn't have to tell the woman that it was your father's field originally, and she would never have known. Since he told her, you can understand that what he's saying is the truth, because he didn't have to tell her at all, and he would have just taken the field for himself. So clearly he told her, and that must be the truth. So we have amigo over here. Rabbi Yeshua is saying, I agree with amigo in this Mishnah, but I don't agree with amigo, the since over there in the previous Mishnah. Okay? So the Gemara says, what is this going on? We're going to bring four different tries to understand what we're going on. Ilema aha, maybe it's going on this. We're asking because the Gemara didn't define which part of the previous chapter we're talking about. So now the Gemara has to try to understand which Mishnah, which part of the previous 15 Dapim were we referring to. So the Gemara says, "Hayitam uberet." If the woman was pregnant, ve'amrula, and they told her, "Ma tivo shel ubar ze?" What's this baby? Where did this baby come from? Me'ish ploni ve'kohenu. She says it came from this man. And he was a kohen. We brought in the Mishnah. Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, Amrim, ne'emenet. She's believed. Rabbi Yeshua Amer. Rabbi Yeshua says, "No, lo mipia anu chayin." We don't believe her. So the Gemara asks, "Hatam my migo ika? What type of migo can you say in that case? Hare keresa ben shinea. She's pregnant. You can't say, oh, since you could have said something. No, there was nothing you could have said because she's pregnant. You see that she's pregnant. She has her baby in her teeth. That's the analogy. But it means to say that she's fully pregnant. You can't lie about it. So what since could you have said? There's no migo over there. So that's try number one. It doesn't work. Ela aha. Maybe try number two. Ra'ua medaberet imechad. They saw her speaking to someone. Right? We said, what was speaking? We have two different opinions. Ve'amrula, and they asked her, Ma tivo shel ish zeh? Who is this guy? Ish ploni v'kohenu. She says, it's a certain person, and he's a kohen. Rabban Gamliel v'Rabbi Eliezer omrim, ne'emenet, we believe her. Rabbi Yeshua omer, Rabbi Yeshua says, lo mipia anu chayin, we don't believe her. So the Gemara asks again, Hatam, my migo ika. What sense is there in that case also? What migo can you say? Hanicha, we brought two different opinions, if you remember. We said, what is medaberet? She's speaking to someone. One opinion said she went in seclusion. The other opinion said, no, she actually slept with the guy. So the Gemara says, Hanicha le'ze'iri, it makes sense to Ze'iri's opinion, da'amar mai medaberet, that what does it mean speaking to the woman? Nistera, she went in seclusion with the guy. Amigo de'i ba'aya amra, if she wanted, what could she have said? Lo nivalti, she could have said, I didn't sleep with anyone. But what did she say? Vika amra nivalti. She said, I slept with someone, but he was a kosher person. So from the fact that she said she slept with someone, we can understand that she's telling the truth, because she could have lied and said, no, I didn't sleep with anyone. So since she said that she slept with someone and she admitted a little bit, mehemna, we would believe her in that case. But elala Rav Asi, but according to Rav Asi, the amar mai medaber, that he says, what does it mean she was speaking to someone? Nivelet, she slept with someone. So the Gemara says, mai migo ika. What since, what migo can you say over there? She already slept with the person. She couldn't say, oh, I didn't sleep with the person. We know she slept with him according to Rav Asi. So according to Rav Asi, there's no migo. So this can't be the answer either. We're trying to find the case in the previous parak where we can say migo. Which case was it? I mean, it's interesting. I don't know why the Gemara doesn't just refer back to the previous parak. The Gemara brought the word migo. The Gemara brought the phrase, we have a case of migo by Rabban Gamliel. I don't know why the Gemara doesn't just go back to that case. I don't know why I asked to try to guess. But okay, anyhow. Ve'ena aha, third try. He omerit, if she comes and says, mukat etzani, I was hidden with a piece of wood, and I'm no longer a virgin. V'hu omer, and he says, lo ki ela derusat ishat. He says, no, you were slept with the man. Rabban Gamliel v'Rabbi Eliezer omrim, ne'emenet, she's believed. Rabbi Yeshua omer, lo mipia anu chayin. We do not live off her words, we don't believe her. So the Gemara says again, hatam, my migo ika. What migo is there over there? Meaning, if she's coming and saying, I am a mukat etz, I'm a woman who has lost my virginity, what better thing could she have said that she avoided saying that we would believe her now because she says mukat etz? Let's see. So Bishlama, Rabbi Elazar, makes sense according to Rabbi Elazar. We had a machloket also what this Mishnah was talking about, if you remember. It's a very good repetition, actually. It's a chazaran, the whole parak. So he says, we had two different opinions. One opinion was, what is this Mishnah talking about? That either if she's telling the truth, she gets 100 money. 100. If he's telling the truth, she gets nothing in her ketubah. Right? Whereas the other opinion says, no, it's a difference of either she gets 200 or 100. So now the Gemara says, Bishama, the Rabbi Elazar, it makes sense when the Rabbi Elazar, the Amar bimane veloklum, that he says that we are referring to a case of either she receives 100 if she's telling the truth, or nothing if he's telling the truth. That over there, migo deiba aya amra mukat etz ani tachtich, she could have came and said, I was a mukat etz, I became someone who was a mukat etz under you while I was married to you. And then what would be the case? Ve'it lamatayim, she would receive 200 zuz there. Right? Vika Amra, what did she say? Meikara. She said, no, I was a mukat etz from the beginning, before I married you. The late la ela mane. Now she only has 100 zuz. So now what do you see? From the fact that she said that I was a mukat etz before, and she loses out on a potential 100 zuz, mehem now, we can believe her. That's migo. Ela the Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, which was the other opinion, the Amar that he said, bimatayim umane, that he says, no, it's the difference of either 200 or 100. So, my migo ika. What migo can you say over there? Meaning, if she's right, she gets the 200. So, you can't say, oh, she could have said, I was a mukat etz before, while we got married already, and therefore I get 200 also. Because you're already getting 200 now. So, there's no better benefit she could have said. So, we cannot say migo over here. Ela, try number four. And this is going to be the answer. Ela, aha. Hanoset aisha. If a person marries a woman, v'lo matzala betulim, he did not find adam betulim. He omeret, she comes and says, mishe'erastani ne'enaste v'nisachfa sadeu. He says, when I got engaged, I got violated and your field got out of luck. Meaning you lost out. Okay? V'hu omer, he comes and says, lo ki ela ad shelo erastich. He says, no, until we got engaged, you did this. So what happens? Rabban Gamliel v'Rabbi Elazar omrim ne'emenet. They say, she's believed. Rabbi Yeshua omer, lo mipi anu chayin. We don't believe her. So Gemara explains. The Migo, Rabban Gamliel explains. The Migo de'i ba'aya amra. She could have said, Mukat etz ani tachtich. She could have said, I was a Mukat etz. I became a Mukat etz, someone who lost her virginity from a wood under you while being married to you. De loka pasla nasha mikehuna, which does not make herself asur to a kohen. Vika amra, but still, what did she say? Ne'enasti. She said, I got violated. Deka paslan nasha mikehuna. And it made her asur to a kohen now. She made a worse statement for herself. So, mishum hachi ka'amar Rabban Gamliel de behemna. That's why we would believe her. That's why, because we say migo. Since she could have said something better for her and she didn't, we'll believe her that she's telling the truth. Veka'amar Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua says that Rabban Gamliel, behai migo dehacha modina lach. In the case of this Mishnah, in the second parak, the case of the field, I believe you when you say migo. But Bahu migo dehatam kaligna ilavuch. Says in the previous parak, when you made that migo, I didn't agree with you. I don't agree with you. So the Gemara says michti. Why? Hi migo, v'hai migo. Both of them are migo. They're both since. We're saying since. It's logic. So maishna mehai migo, hai migo mehai migo. What's any different about one migo from the other migo? It's the same thing essentially. So the Gemara says, "Hacha ein shor shachut lefanecha." Over here, there is no ox that is slaughtered in front of you. Hatam hare shor shachut lefanecha. But over there, there is an ox that is slaughtered in front of you. What does that mean? We have to see Rashi. It's the third to last Rashi. Hacha gabes sadeh. In the case of the field, shor shachut lefanecha. It's like a slaughtered ox in front of you. What does that mean? Sheyale alev be'alav lidboa mi shechato. He's going to go and the owner is going to say, hey, who slaughtered my ox? Who came and took my ox? Right? Klomar. What does that mean? Im shatak ze lo hayu lo orarim. They wouldn't ask him questions if he stayed silent. Hilkach ilav de diber. If the guy who now bought the field from the father, if he didn't speak, what would happen? Pashutu shelacha imenu. Everyone would assume he bought it from the father. But what did he do? Lo hayal omer lo shel avicha haita. He wouldn't have said it was your father. Hilkach amrin amigo. So in that case, since he said that this was your father's and I bought it from him, which he did not need to say, therefore we believe him. We can say migo over there. Sorry, in this case, there is no. It's not an ox that is slaughtered in front of you. Ein shor shachut lefanecha, right? Why? Because there's no open, mamashut that you can take and testify. Hey, this was my father's. She would never have known. So there's nothing revealed for her to know. That's what it means. There's no ox slaughtered in front of you. Whereas aval gabe lo matzala betulim. But in the previous parak, when we said he didn't find dam betulim, shor shachut lefanecha. That's an open slaughtered ox in front of you. Why? or a bull, however you explain it. Betulim shelo matzala hem hisituhu. When he didn't find dam betulim, that's what caused him to get up and say, hey, what's going on over here? What's going on? So therefore, that caused him to get up and go to the Beit Din, go to the court. Yeah. And so that's the reason why there's an open reason that he's testifying, that he's coming and saying, I didn't find dam betulim. And so over there, the Rashi says, even though she can come and say a good proof to her words, mizo lo amrinan migo. In that case, we would not say migo. The dilma lo aska daata, because this is what Dr. Chodadian was saying yesterday. Maybe she just didn't think of it. She wasn't smart enough to think of it. Maybe she just didn't think to say, oh, I could have said mukat etzani. Or maybe yarume kam arma. Or maybe she was so smart, she was a tamidah chachamah, like Doctor was saying yesterday, that she thought, if I say something that sounds a little bit like not in my benefit, then maybe they'll believe me. So she's going to say, yeah, I was violated. So that's why Rabbi Yeshua comes and says, we cannot believe her in the previous case, in the case of Migo. Very important Rashi to learn. Okay, very good. Continuing. Since the majority of women get married as a virgins, kilo atu edim mayhave. Who cares if witnesses come or not? What is the difference if witnesses come? If we're going after a majority, we go after a majority. If not, not. What do the witnesses have to do with anything? So the Gemara says, Amar Ravina, Mishum de'ika lameimah, where we can say, Rov nashim betulot nisot. Majority of women who get married are virgins. Umiyot miut almanot. The minority are widows. Vekol haniset betula, and anyone who gets married as a virgin, yesh la kol. There's a lot of noise about her. They do shira, they do this, they do that. A lot of times, a person who is a widow, there's not so much noise. Not everyone hears about it when the widow gets remarried, but when a virgin gets married, everyone in the community hears about it. Vezo, and in this case, ho'il ve'ein la kol, since nobody heard about it, right? No one came and testified saying that she came out wearing her hinuma. Yeah, we flipped the amud. So itra la ruba, she lost out on her majority. Amud bet. Okay? She loses out on her majority because there is no one speaking about the actual aspect of the wedding.
I'm sorry, mine says what's up, but you know,
No, that's the previous daf. That's the previous daf. Okay? I kol haniset betula, yesh la kol. If we say that every woman who gets married as a virgin, she has, you know, speaking about her, everyone speaks about her and everyone hears about it, ki atu edim mayhave, then what do you need edim for? Again, if we say that majority of women are virgins, we'll go after the majority. And if there's a kol, then we know it's a virgin. If there's no kol, we know there's not a virgin. Why do you need witnesses? So what? Hanach sahadeh shakarenihu. Are these witnesses liars? We don't believe them? So the Gemara says, Ela amaravina, rov haniset betula yesh lakol. Majority of women, they have a voice. Vezoho il ve'in lakol, itra la ruba. And this one, since there is no voice, no one speaking about it, no one testifying that she came out with a hinuma, therefore you can assume that it's not from the majority, it's from the minority. So it's not everyone. And we need those witnesses also to be able to help us define if it's true that she's a virgin or if it's not. Okay? Im yesh edim sheyatzah bihinuma, we said if there are witnesses that come and say that she walked out when she was getting married with this hinuma, which means she was a betula. So the Gemara says, velichosh dilma, mafka edim behai beidina, vegabia. Maybe she's going to take witnesses to one beidin and get her ketubah. Vehadar mafka la ketubah behai beidina vegabia ba. And maybe she's going to take the empty ketubah now and go to the other beitin with her witnesses and take another portion of her ketubah. Maybe she's going to go to two beitins. Why don't we worry about that? So Gemara says, Amar Biabao zot omeret kotvin shover. This is to tell you, we're not going to give her back her ketubah after she gets the money. We give her a receipt. This is a receipt that you've already been paid. So she's not going to be able to go to another beitin and get some money, more money out of it. Another answer, Rafa Ba Amar, we're talking about a place that they used to not write ketubah. They used to not write ketubah in this certain place. Okay? And that's why, so we don't have to worry about it over there because there was no ketubah bichlal. Okay? So that was taught on the Mishnah. Some teach this whole concept on the actual beraita. And it's very important to split it into two parts. Ibeda ketubata. If she lost her ketubah, hitmina ketubata, or she hid her ketubah. Nisrfa ketubah, tumata. She burned her ketubah, or it was burned. Rakedu lefaneha, if they danced in front of her, I guess at the wedding. Sichaku lefaneha, they, you know, did fun things, or they played in front of her. Hevir lefaneha kos shel besora, they brought in front of her a cup of wine, a certain cup of wine of news. We're going to see what that wine was. Oma pashal betulim, or the cloth that proves that she is a virgin. Im yesh la edim beechad mikol elu, if she has witnesses for any of these things, ketubata matayim, she receives 200. So now the Gemara asks on the Baraita, "V'lichosh dilma mifka edim b'hai beitin avigavia." Maybe she's going to take witnesses for to this beitin and get her ketubah. "V'hadar mifka leketubata b'hai beitin avigavia ba." And she's going to take witnesses with her ketubah to the other beitin and take the money again. Amar Yibau Zot Amer Kotvin Shover. We would write her a receipt. We wouldn't give her obviously the ketubah. Answer number one, we would write her the receipt. Rav Papa says no. V'makom she'in kotvin ketubah askin. And we're talking about a place that they would not write a ketubah. But the Gemara comes and asks, "V'ha'i beda ketubata ketane?" But you said she lost her ketubah. If she lost her ketubah, that means she had one. How can you say we didn't write a ketubah in this place? She had one. The Gemara says, "No, dikatav la'iu." Well, it was the guy who wrote her a ketubah for her. But really, the place, the minhag of the place, was not to write a ketubah. Who cares? The Gemara says, "Sof mefkad la v'gabiyava." But still, she has a ketubah. She's going to go and get the money from one beit din and go and get the money again from another beit din. So the Gemara says, "My ibeda." What does it mean? She lost ibeda ba'ur. It was lost in the fire, meaning it was burned. She no longer has it. The Gemara says, "Yachi haynu nisarfa." So that's the same thing as burned. Why does it have to say two different things? Ve'od. And not only that, hitmina ma'ikalamemar. What are you going to say about hiding? She took her ketubah and she hid it, so she still has it. She can go into two different beitins. Ve'tu. And also ibeda lamali. Why do you even need the case of lost? Right? If you're saying the case of loss, we already said that if it's lost in the fire, you already said burned. So it's the same exact thing. It's pretty much the same similar question to the first one. The Tosfot discusses that question. Ela kol ibeda ki hitmina b'faneinu dame. Anytime she loses it, it's as if she hid it in front of us. Velo yavinan la, and we don't give her the money ad de amre edim nisrefa ketubata. And we don't give her the money until the witnesses come and say the ketubah was burned. So we wouldn't give it to her if she hided it or something along those lines. The one who taught in the second case on the Beraita, how much more so on the Mishnah's case? But the one who taught this case on the Mishnah, but on the Beraita, we would not believe her. Why? Because of the difficulty. What was the difficulty we brought? We said, what if she still has her ketubah? If she's hiding her ketubah, so she still has it. So we may be afraid that she'll go to two different beitins and she'll be goveh the money. So in that case, the one who said this case on the Mishnah, he would not agree to the one who says it on the Beraita. Okay, let's continue. Let's try to get to the end of the daf. Im yesh edim, if there are witnesses, we said. So the Gemara says, "V'lichosh dilma mifka edei hinuma behai beidina vegavya." Maybe she's going to take witnesses who come and say she left, you know, wearing this thing as a virgin into one beidin and get her money. "V'hadar mifka edei hinuma bebeidina acherina vegavya," and she's going to do the same thing into another beidin and get the money again. The Gemara says, "B'makom de lo efshar, vaday kotvin and shover." In a place where it's not possible to be able to stop her from doing something like that, they would obviously write a receipt instead of giving her the ketubah back, so that she would not be capable of going and doing such a thing. "Ha'eviru lefaneha kos shel besorah." We said if they brought in front of her, this cup of besorah. So the Gemara says, "My kos shel besorah." What is this cup of news? This cup of good news. What is this? So the Gemara says, "Amar avada barahava." They would bring a cup of wine that was teruma in front of her. Klomar reuya ha'ita zo le'chol b'teruma. They tell her, you were fit to have eaten teruma. Meaning, since you were a virgin, you could have married a kohen. A woman who did znut cannot marry a kohen. Right. And so, since you were a virgin, you could have married a kohen and you could have eaten teruma. That's what this kos of yain. So the Gemara says, "Mati flar vapa." He has a contradiction. "Atu almana milo achla b'teruma." If you have, let's say, a widow, does a widow never eat teruma? Why can't a widow eat truma? If you have a widow that was, let's say, she's a daughter of a kohen, she goes back to her father's house after she becomes a widow, she can't eat truma. She can eat truma. So the Gemara says, "Ela amar papa zoreshit ketruma reshit." This is her first time, like the truma that would be her first time. Meaning, this is her first time going into relations. Rashi says, "Be'ilata reshit," which means her first time going into relations, which would also be the first time that she could have had truma if she had married the kohen. Meaning she has never had it before. She was not a daughter of a kohen, or she's not an almana in the case like that. But it's what they're telling. They're saying, since you are a virgin, we're bringing this cup of wine in front of you. That's truma to tell you that you were fit to marry a kohen that could have had truma. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Chavit shel yain, there was a barrel of wine mavirin lefaneh that we take in front of her. Amar avada barahava, betula mavirin lefaneh setuma. If she was a virgin, they would take a closed barrel in front of her. Be'ula, if she was not a virgin, mavirin lefaneh petucha, they would take an open barrel of wine. Amai, why? Niaver kame betula. Why don't we just take the barrel in front of the virgin? Ve'kame be'ula lo niaver klal. And let's not take a barrel in front of the woman who is not a virgin whatsoever. Why do we need to take a barrel in front of the non-virgin? Meaning, what do we need to prove? Differentiate with the barrels, just don't take a barrel altogether and we'll know she wasn't a virgin. The Gemara says, no. Zimnin de tafsa mataim. Sometimes she's going to manage to grab 200 zuz. She's going to manage to get her ketubah to 200 zuz, even though she wasn't a virgin. So somehow she'll make some tricks and be able to manage to get her 200. Ve amra ana betula havain. She'll say, I was actually a virgin when I got married. Ve hai de lo avru kamayin. Why didn't they bring the barrel in front of me? They were actually anus. They weren't capable of bringing a barrel in front of me. They had some anus situation where they weren't able to bring the barrel. But really, I'm a virgin. So the Chachamim said, you know what? We don't want to have any situations like this. Let's distinguish a woman who is a virgin. We'll bring a closed barrel in front of her, and that's how we know she's a virgin. A woman who is not a virgin, we'll bring an open barrel in front of her, and so that's how we'll know she's always a virgin, and she was always not a virgin when she got married, and that's how we'll be able to distinguish between a virgin on the Ketubah and a non-virgin. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Amen.